Well, welcome, everybody. For those who don't know me, I'm Mark Bechtel. I'm the Public Works Operations Manager. I'm the lead staff on this task force. With me is Libby Bard-Baki, who is our facilitator, who's been helping us through this process. Also, this is Judy Postier, our recording secretary. And then we'll go around the room and everybody introduce each other and who you represent, as well as our guests. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Jennifer Keller, Parks Operations and Recreation Services Manager with the City of Salem.
Becky George, also with the City of Salem, in Public Works, Recreation Supervisor.
Murray Eastwood, representing the Emmanuel Bible Church.
My name is Rebecca Ziegler, and I am representing Kristen Rutherford, and I work in urban development with her with the City of Salem.
And I'm Kevin Hill. I'm a sergeant for the Salem Police Downtown Enforcement Team.
I am Gretchen Bennett. I work for the City of Salem and the Mayor and the City Manager's Office, and one of my roles includes our Human Rights Commission.
I'm Mickey Barney. I'm with the Salem Parks and Recreation Advisory Board.
I'm Matthew Massara. I'm the Executive Director of Diebold Street Industries.
And I'm Josh Sawyer, President of Diebold Street Industries.
And I'm Ken Houghton. I'm sitting in for Ashley Hamilton. I work for Community Action Arts Project as their coordinator at outreach.
Great. Thank you for coming.
Sarah Owens, Candy.
All right. And?
Michael Livingston, Vice Chair of Candy Neighborhood Association.
And?
Zachary Trash with City by Homes Ministry.
And you guys, you can pull your chairs in closer, if that's okay.
Yeah, come on.
One of the differences from, we were very cramped quarters the first two meetings. Now we're in really spacious quarters. So we do need everyone to kind of speak up a little more loudly tonight. And to help out, Judy was at our first meeting, then we had Carol, then we're back to Judy. So make sure that you say who you are when you start speaking, because so we have it on the recording. And because Judy was only here for one meeting so far, so she may not have faces and names matched up yet. So just kind of say who you are before you start talking. So. With that, this is our third meeting, and I really want to thank all of you for the effort to maybe come out to these task force meetings. I think we're making progress. Tonight is kind of the big night, and I won't steal any of Libby's thunder, but we really want to have some recommendations that we can move forward with by the time we leave tonight, so that'd be really good. Let's do a little bit of business. I sent out some meeting minutes for your review and approval, and I know one correction already. Matt, you weren't here last time. We wish you were, but you weren't here, so we do need to, whoever wants to make a motion to amend the minutes, we need to amend the minutes so that reflects that Matt was not here. And Josh, you were gone too, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. So anybody want to make that motion to amend and adopt the minutes?
I think we can do it by unanimous consent since we're not even recording the motion. Sarah Owens, can do.
Okay.
Unanimous consent?
Yep.
Sure. Good.
Are there any other corrections or amendments? I guess I should ask that question. Any other corrections that you could see or amendments? Any other mistakes we might have made? Okay. All right. I'm going to turn it over to Libby. So here we go.
All right. So. Today's meeting, the majority is going to be spent in two or three work groups to work on one of the ideas that we had for meeting two. But first, I wanted to give a brief update, an overview of what we talked about at our last meeting, and more instructions about what we're doing today. And then we also have public comments at the end of the meeting. So you have this in front of you, which will probably be a lot easier to read than on the screen. But at our meeting last week, we talked about several ideas, including designing and installing a permanent fenced enclosure under Marion and Center Street bridges. We talked about the shelter's role in continuing to offer meals indoors, and that the shelters also offer kitchen facilities for use by other benevolent feeding groups. We talked about the city adopting new Salem Revised Code language on permitting benevolent feeding activities in parks and public spaces. We talked about the city designing a form that would be specific to this activity, different from just reserving space. If you would like to sit at the table, because it's hard to hear in here, so if you'd like to get closer, you're all welcome. Art has talked about some improvements that they're working on for their property to better manage outdoor feeding. So one thing Mark did with this list is he went to the city manager and the city senior management and got feedback on all of them. And I wanted to report that the city, the designing and installing a fence on the bridge was just determined to have too many hurdles around it to make it feasible. One of the top thing is the no trespassing signs there, that they think that it's going to be hard to enforce an area that has no trespassing signs, except for sometimes when you're there getting a meal, that it would be confusing and hard to enforce. There was concern about the negative impact that people might perceive of having people inside a fenced area to be fed. The significant investment in a fence, so not just the original installation, but ongoing maintenance of that site. The attraction of the fencing, maybe to attach tents and other materials, maybe some temptation there. And then also that site is close to two established shelters that are offering food to the homeless. So they said, with all of this in mind, they wanted that off the table as a solution set. And I'm sure there's questions. Yes?
Can this be discussed at all at this time, or when? Who are the two established shelters that offer food to the homeless?
They say
Salvation Army and UGM.
And we were considering Arches as a shelter as well.
No, but there are questions here. Please feel free to ask questions.
Okay.
And,
Well, the mission is probably the only really most convenient. The Salvation Army is a mile north, so, and then of course Arches is a temporary site, so there really is only one that's providing the meal in the downtown core.
Yeah. What do you mean by temporary?
Arches is not a permanent location for us to serve meals from the bridge to Arches. That's not a permanent situation because we're outdoors year round. We need a covered area to really.
Well, I do want to, if I could go back to what they looked at all the other options, and they do like the idea of making citywide. Oh, sorry.
Thank Richard.
No, it's okay. I was going to add another thing I learned about a fence enclosure is that you have to pay attention to egress, because a fence creates a space, even though there's not, with the bridge overpass. And so then all of a sudden it kicks in rules about, like, you have to have a certain number of exits. And we played with some quick math, because like you could have a fire and people are going to need to be able to get out and can't quickly scale a fence. And so you start thinking about it and how many exits would you need to be able to have? So it kicks in all of those considerations as well from a safety standpoint, which is interesting. So anyway,
yeah,
I just wanted to add that. That's something I was learning about.
So I think on the other side of the equation, I think is an idea that goes back to updating the code to make it clear that benevolent feeding is allowed in parks and public spaces, and that there would be a process in place that clarifies that. And the city is offering that permit, or we'll call it a permit, would be free. So it would be a free permit. It would allow people to apply. And what we're going to work on tonight is how could that permit, what would be in that permit that would make it easy to administer from the people who are doing the benevolent feeding? Like, how do we make it so it's not it's not a burden to the work that you're doing, but also that it's manageable on the city side if you're thinking about managing facilities and sites and such. So I think it's the intent is to see if as a, we're going to break into groups, but if each group works on some ideas, we'll come back and we will share them. The idea is really something that's a win-win on both sides of this, which is, I think is where we started, which is how do we continue to feed homeless people and reduce the negative impacts that can come from that.
And if I could just add, I want to explain, after two meetings, I did not want us to go down a road of recommendations that I would then take to my bosses and them say, well, just no. I wanted to make sure that the recommendations that we had been kind of working towards would I need to find out if that would be supported or not by the city manager and the public works director and urban development director and the police chief. Because obviously we don't ever take a split decision to city council from city staff. The city staff either have to recommend something or recommend against something to city council. So we wanted you to know, not at the end of the process, but in the middle of the process, what kind of feedback I was going to get from upper city management. So I wanted to make sure that happened. So that's why we got that feedback. But one other thing that Linda will probably talk about, there was some recognition that, the situation Arches right now is temporary by nature because you're literally feeding people off of folding tables in the parking lot. And Kristen Rutherford from Urban Development, offered that maybe there are some things the city could do to help with making that somehow a little bit more permanent or a little more accommodating, some kind of an awning or a tent or whatever the building code would let us do. To help Arches out so that it's not just a windblown bunch of folding tables, that to provide some kind of accommodation to help out with Arches. So that was one of the things that we did. I did hear back. So and the free permit is actually a big thing. Nobody else gets free permits in the city, so that'd be a good thing too. So I can't speak for the city council. Staff will never speak for the city council. So the recommendations that you ultimately come up with, we have to take to council, but the upper city management has said what they can support, what they can't. That's what I wanted to bring to you.
Dan, you weren't here, but the fence area under the bridges is off the table, and the solutions that we're looking at, and we're going to be working on what permit requirements would be tonight that would fairly balance everybody's needs. But I wanted to just review just quickly the overall strategy is that shelters are going to continue to offer meals indoors, and we understand they have food bags for those not wanting or able to eat indoors, and that they offer kitchen facilities that other groups can use to prepare meals, that the city would adopt or make changes to their code that would allow benevolent feeding in public spaces and in parks, and that's what we're working on tonight. That the city would design this new permit form, there'd be no charge for it, so no fee charged for that. And that some type of effort, a grant or something, could be done to improve the Arches property with cover for outdoor feeding. Yes.
Have you consulted with Arches? Sarah Owens can do. Have you consulted with Arches about whether they are willing to continue to have the distributions in their parking lot? Because I actually did mention last meeting that it was causing some disruption with their consumers.
So Ken from Arches, we're okay with them continuing. Okay. We haven't put an end date on it. And once construction is complete on the remodel, we are willing to allow the building to be used. But we still want to have complete oversight and authority over it. There are people who will have to have permits and those type of things. But we're not going to jeopardize our commercial kitchen license by people coming in and doing things that they shouldn't be.
So you are okay with continuing feeding, say, through when the kitchen comes online?
Yeah.
Dan or Josh or Matt, any feedback?
As far as, the one thing that I really didn't, I was in the Philippines, so I wasn't here for the first two meetings, but the one thing that I really wanted to address is the concerns with what takes place when feeding is going on. Because I've experienced it myself, that when people start using drugs, the right thing to do is call the police, because that's going to prevent stabbings, you know, and being proactive rather than reactive with that kind of stuff. And it's just the nature of it. It's like when we do events, we make sure it's super obvious that there's going to be no drug use and no violence. Otherwise, we will absolutely utilize law enforcement. That's what they're there for. And I think that would make for a much more peaceable situation. And I think that could be a huge issue that needs to be addressed when folks are coming and getting their meals.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm wondering if anyone's ever seen that. I've never seen that at any of the times I've been down there. I'm sure it's going on, but I have not seen it.
I haven't either.
I've had the intercede.
Really, Dan?
Oh, very few. Very few.
I was there.
Why?
I was there on multiple occasions. One occasion, a disabled man, and it was over a drug deal gone bad. And right under the bridge. So if you're looking towards West Salem, the left side of the bridge, his face was being stomped on. While I was handing out water, the meal was taking place, and I had to go intercede, call law enforcement.
Yeah.
And they had to come pick that individual up.
But do you have that? We did talk about that, about reporting during the meeting, the need to be able to report when a law is being broken. But I just wanted, before we move on to the exercise, I wanted to get feedback on this. Overall,
I need to respond to just what he just said.
Okay, you did. That's fine, Dan.
Yes, in the last year, violence has gone up because of a new crowd underneath the bridge and the camping. Yes, I do agree to that. But before then, and that's what I'm really dumbfounded by we're having this meeting, the violence underneath that bridge has been very, it's been a very somber experience to feed this crowd and go home and everybody is fine. We've had very little incidents through the years. In the last year, I concede yes, because there's been a new crowd, a younger crowd, and they have been more violent and involving the drugs, and that's what fuels it, so, because it's territorial.
So I just want to open up around the table. I want to make sure everybody's okay with this moving forward and that we are going to work in groups to kind of sketch out what would be in a permit that would be fair, equitable, easy to administer.
Ken from Arches, I also like to keep everyone mindful that Arches is willing to be part of the downtown solution, but this is a citywide.
Yes, citywide.
Citywide.
Yeah.
You know, there's Lancaster and stuff, and there's a lot of stuff going on all over the place, and you know, so what the decisions we got to make, we got to keep that in mind.
Who had Mickey?
Oh, I just wanted to make sure that we kept the county public health permit. You know, the idea that we were going to reach out to the commissioners of Polk and Marion County.
And Mark has an update about that.
Yeah,
okay.
Again, I talked to the city manager and the department directors, and they absolutely want the food providers to obtain the proper county licenses and handling certificates. But the city of Salem has no jurisdiction in that matter. So it's a county requirement based on state statute. And so we would not enforce that, but what we would put on the form would be, you know, you need to obtain a food license, you know, temporary restaurant license, benevolent, what do they call it, benevolent meal site, temporary restaurant license?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so there would be a reminder on our form that they, that the food provider needs to obtain those licenses. But it's really up to the county to then enforce its own rules and regulations. And as far as going forward to ask the counties for like a fee waiver or fee reduction, the city is a little, the city staff are a little reluctant to do that, because it's like one, the city asking the county to do something. And so, but what you could do, either individually or as a group, now that you've all been around the table several times, you could, you know, work with Elisa to go before the two counties and their county commissions and ask for either a reduction or a waiver of the fees. But, you know, frankly, right now the counties and the city aren't getting along very well because of some recent decisions by the city. And you probably would be more successful, I'm going to be very diplomatic here, you'd probably be more successful if you went on your own or as a group to ask the county commissions for this than if the city asked on your behalf. So.
Just a follow-up question to that. Maybe this is directed more for us, Becky and Kevin at the Salem Police. So say events happen in Riverfront Park and there's going to be alcohol being sold. Are there OLCC regulations and permits and licensing that they need to get to have those functions? And with that being said, do they need to get those prior to obtaining a permit from the city? Show proof of? Or is it just on an honor system?
So Becky George with City of Salem, and the current process for that is yes, the answer to your question is you would, in the case of an alcohol permit, that type of thing, they are required, anybody that's having that on site on city property is required to go through OLCC, purchase permits, special event for any licensing, things like that that they need to do. And they've, in the past, they provide a copy of that. So I know that they've been approved by OLCC. Same would go with people that a similar situation would be somebody that's coming in that's maybe a food truck or a restaurant. They're coming in to be part of an event and they are told this permit that you're getting through me or the city is for the purpose of selling on site at the, yeah, the city facility. But there's other requirements, food handlers, Marion County Health Department processes that they're required to do. But I don't ask for copies of that.
So for consistency, it would be fair to say that one would have to obtain the permits to the county first to show proof to get permits to the city.
But exactly, like you were saying though that you were saying that you, there's some county permits that you don't require people to show you, like food handler's license.
Right, so in those cases, like when we have a situation where there's a large event at, say, Riverfront Park, there's people that come down there that vend food or alcohol, whatever. In the case of them vending food, I do a permit for them to sell on city property, but you're right, I don't ask them to provide copies of their food handler's permits or their temporary restaurant license. Because what ends up happening is the health department will show up at those events and they'll go booth to booth and do their own inspections, much like what fire department would do.
Yeah.
They go around and do their inspections of the booths to make sure there's ample, no fire extinguishers, things of that nature. So
this would be similar here then?
It could be.
So when we pick up a permit, Josh from Bebo Street Ministry, so when we pick up a permit from you, we're not required to show you the permits from the county in order to get our permits with you, right?
For this particular case, no. In the past, I have not required there to be permits shown.
But we're signing a piece of paper stating that we have that?
Well, the permit in the past that we've used for this particular type of activity is the same general permit that we use for any use of our city parks. It's my understanding, and I'm sorry, I was sick at the last meeting and wasn't able to make it, but it sounds like we're potentially coming up with a brand new form for this. So it could be noted on there that it's something that you need to have. I mean, that's something that we need to work out.
Sure. I'm not sure that the purposes of this discussion is useful to talk about past practice. So we're talking about completely different. I think it might be good to just say what does it make sense to do for this new situation. It doesn't make sense to compare a one event by professionals with a commercial interest to a year-long permit.
That's true. Sorry, do you want to introduce yourself? We had to use a big voice in here.
I'm Lisa from Mary County Environmental Health.
We're talking about stuff.
The same way as the for-profit ones that Becky's describing. Okay. So whenever we have a for-profit event, like, you know, World Meet, everybody submits those applications in advance because we charge a late fee if they do not. And the inspector that covers that area will check to make sure all the vendors have the permit, usually before we even go out there. And then we do go booth to booth to booth to booth. We check them all. They're issued a permit once they pass their inspection. For the benevolents, it would be very similar. We will go out and inspect. Some benevolents, we just do phone consultations, and then if we receive a complaint, we will go out and inspect.
Is that the benevolent for there's a difference. So last time you were here, for my clarification, didn't you say you've never issued one for homeless feeding?
Right. Mm-hmm. We have issued any benevolent temporary restaurant licenses with that $28 fee that everybody saw to places that are charging to sell food to raise money, church events, that kind of thing. So we've issued many of those. But for the feeding site that happened at the bridge, I couldn't find record of that. And so this would be something new because $28 per day going forward. I think that we could put something towards the commissioner to maybe get a different type of fee, but also that fee has to be approved with the Board of Health Authority, which is the state, so it has to go through two different venues, and then also it is a countywide fee, so it would affect Detroit, Woodburn, the whole county. And this is just for now. And then another thing I did want to bring up, if you are over on the other side of the river, if you are in Wallace Marine, which is City Salem, that is actually Polk County. Mm-hmm. It's a different county. So they have temporary restaurant license applications. It's a different form than us, different fees. So if you are working over there, go and you can talk to them.
So one last clarification question, because you haven't inspected homeless feeding either, would you that system is in place now, or?
Well, we've already inspected Arches before at the old kitchen. They were licensed. We inspect the Union Gospel Mission. The rules are all the same for
outdoor, like,
yeah. Yeah. That guide that you guys saw, that benevolent meal site guide, relaxes the rules in only one way. It allows people to bring food from home. That's the only way, and they have to go through and they have to sign this, you know, the checklist on the back of that saying, we've read the rules and we have to keep that.
But I think last time you said you've never inspected an outdoor benevolent feeding, like under the bridge or?
Not to my knowledge, I haven't. That particular one under the bridge, no.
Has anybody ever filed for one of those?
No, not that I know of.
Nobody knew about it until about a month ago.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just trying to clarify. So any other questions before we break into groups?
I have one question.
Sure.
Sort of an overarching question. Has the city talked about the regulating no more than three meals, not consecutive nights?
Well, I think that's what you're going to do of your group.
Okay, so
that,
I don't think
that's okay. There was, when I talked to the city manager and the directors, there was some concern about any one spot becoming so frequently used that it would then become a draw for camping. So I think that, keep that in mind as you come up with some of your recommendations for some regulations. You know, the frequency, if you were serving a meal at the same spot every night, you would most likely have camping in that location. So you need to think about the frequency issue.
Well, and I think even in that, too, addressing that specifically, not necessarily Bold Street Ministries, make an announcement at each one of the meals. Say, hey, this is the criteria for us to continue to be here at this time. If you start to camp here, you're going to remove our ability to show up here. Mm-hmm. That is going to be enough for those folks to be able to go, yeah, we don't want to lose the meal at this location. And it's super easy, it's proactive, and it takes just a matter of minutes before each meal, mm-hmm. just to share that with them.
But I think it's important to understand that what the directors and the city manager were saying was, we're not trying to put you in some faraway place. You can reserve, you know, the facilities in our park system to feed the homeless. You would take out a reservation just like a company picnic would or some other place. You also have to make sure it's cleaned up and put back the way it was before. And so, for example, if you wanted to reserve the Rotary Pavilion to feed the homeless one night in Riverfront Park, you would be like any other event that reserved that pavilion, except you're not paying a fee, it's been waived for you. But you have to leave it exactly the way you found it. You can't have camping around it. So, you know, so that was a trade-off. They don't want it to occur under the bridges anymore. So you can use the park system and all the other public spaces. But you are like any other group that reserved that spot. It has to be, you know, it's got to be put back. And we don't get to keep your fee money to pay to clean it up. So. That was the gives that came out of that discussion with the city manager and the directors. Yeah.
This might sound like a really dumb question, but let's just say we do get the pavilion for a feeting, let's just say at 11 o'clock on Saturday, the fourth Saturday of every month. We can't control whether or not someone is going to camp the following week.
No,
we have no ability to control when anyone's going to camp. All we're going to be able to do is feed for that brief moment. And if we're held responsible for the campers,
no,
sounds...
You're not going to be responsible for the campers, but what Becky is going to do is make sure that the pavilion is not reserved every night for feeding. You're only going to have a few times, just like we manage all our other facilities.
Okay, so...
You're going to have a certain number of times.
So let's...
I would suggest we do, because we're trying to write a permit in a big group, and I would really like people to be able to talk to each other. I'd like somebody from the city...
But the problem is if we don't have... quote, park management telling us what our parameters are, we can come up with all sorts of glorious plans, but the problem is they're not going to hold water unless we know exactly what our parameters are.
But I think that's what we want to do tonight is, so Mark's talking about parameters, but what we want, that's why this group is here, because we want to hear from you, the people who are doing the work, to say, well, it's important for us that people know on a certain day where food will be served, right?
Okay,
there's
so...
But what I think would be easier if we break up into small groups and have this, because we're in a big group, and I'd like to hear people's ideas and for you to be able to talk to Jennifer and if that...
So as I understand it, I apologize for being late.
Yeah.
I was not informed that there was a change in location until... I got there.
Are you not getting my emails? Or?
No, I did not get an email stating that there was a location change.
Okay, let me check to make sure it went out correctly.
So, as I understand it, I mean, the bridge is not an option anymore?
Right.
Okay.
Lori and then Mickey.
I don't know if I'm missing something here, and I was a few minutes late also because I did not know the meeting had changed. There were several of us that went down to the city hall and then saw the thing. But I don't know if I'm missing something from the last meeting. I mean, the mayor picked us for this task force. Now we're told in what, this is the third meeting, or, you know, that the bridge is not an option. Well, why are we having this task force now to be told this is an option or that's not an option? And to get this message now from, of the city and the city manager, this stuff should have been from the get-go, from the very first meeting.
Before we...
We have been spending three meetings...
I understand what you're saying, but I do have to say that that meeting, the idea of the fence came out of this group. And what Mark was doing was checking all the ideas that came from this group to see if they could move forward, so...
But the idea of the bridge has been there from the very first meeting. So it just kind of seems like we've been blindsided with...
Gretchen? Actually, kind of. Remember, one of the parameters of this task force was that we would not be doing feedings in areas that are posted no trespassing. That was one of the parameters. And currently under the bridges is posted no trespassing.
But that could be changed to no trespassing except during meal or meal
that food being served. That is why I, before we got to the end of the process, went and talked to the city manager and the police chief and the other department directors find out, before we went any further, was there anything that they would not support? Now, your task force...
I think within this land, I think it hasn't been transparent, and for me, it seems very disturbing.
Gretchen, and then Dan.
I guess I was going to say what Mark was going to say, that part at the beginning about areas that are no trespass, it's so difficult to enforce something like that. And then there's also the issues with having people be in an enclosed space and being worried about safety if something happens inside the space. So as we continue to hear the thoughts and reflect on it, it just felt so impossible to make workable.
Well, in regards to space, and I probably should bring this up, but I will, but when you have 100 or a couple hundred people in an enclosed area in the state hospital, and you have maybe a 10-foot or 12-foot fence they can get out of in case of, well, you're not going to get them out anyway because you're not going to take the risk to get them out. But if we can have that many people in a state place, I am certain we could have 80 or 90 in a fence that has 15-foot.
It's because the bridge creates a ceiling. So the laws of enclosure kick in. I think those other spaces don't have a ceiling, if I'm not mistaken.
I want to go down. Dan.
The pavilion does.
Dan, yeah.
But then it's open. See, it's one or the other. You've got to have...
I'm sorry I missed last meeting, but I did read the minutes, and I did get my notice that the location changed. So I'm late because I had a great dinner. But, if a group wanted to feed Saturday, this coming Saturday, is it possible that they could get the Marion County health license or temporary restaurant, whatever that thing is, by Saturday at noon?
Yeah, they can come in and get it tomorrow.
And it's $28.
$28. Yeah,
and there's a per feeding, correct?
It's $28 for one day, $112 for 30 days. Okay. There's different fees.
And then our food handler permits a part of that, or is that a separate?
They're separate, but they are required.
And how long does it take to get a food handler permit? What's the cost for?
They can go online and take it and get it as soon as they pass the exam.
Okay.
And yeah. I think it varies from $7.50 to $10 to get that.
I got 1 year ago, so.
Yeah.
It's only good for a year, too, right?
3 years.
But three years. Good, thank you.
So, Laura, I just have a question for you, back to you, which is they found the bridge idea to be unfeasible, but on the other hand, they want to make a system that opens the city up citywide, all public spaces, all parks, for benevolent feeding with a permit that is free. So, as a way...
But then it would be $1,300 from the county.
That is a settlement.
Unless they waive separate.
And then, it's for a temporary restaurant, so if you make a permanent site near the bridge, our temporary restaurant license would apply to that. That essentially becomes a permanent restaurant.
And then that's even more so.
That is completely different, right? You would have to meet the requirements of a restaurant.
Right, and I think, for clarity...
I'll cover a process question here, too. I'm telling you what the city manager and some department directors told me what they would support or not support. You as a task force can certainly make, you can make any recommendations you want. You can say we shall wear purple on Fridays. It doesn't, you know, whatever recommendation you want to make as a task force, you can make. But what I'm trying to do is help you by halfway, at least halfway through, telling you where some of these recommendations stood with them, because it's not going to look that great if you present your recommendations to the city council and the city manager and the department heads and the police chief all say, no, we don't support that, at the end of the process. So I'm trying to tell you what they're willing to support.
So Lori, so an example for the permit would be that it reminds people of the requirements that are needed from other agencies, but it's not some kind of proof that you have to show to get your permit. Like, you would be responsible, the people applying would be responsible for following the law, but it wouldn't be the city of Salem that was ensuring that law was followed, right? That's an option that you could recommend for the permit. So if I know we could talk some more if everybody wants to, or we could work on making a permit. I would encourage people, this was always a series of ideas. I would encourage you to work out some of the details of a permit system, because I think the city wants it to work for everybody. So I would encourage participation.
Could I just address one thing that you brought up, Mark? Yeah. Specifically the trash and the trash generated during the events. You know, when we have our birthday party in the park, we bring our own trash receptacle and we dispose of the trash that is generated from that specific event, which would remove that. And even with the city, like when we've done that, they'll come and they're more than happy to give us extra bags.
Oh, absolutely.
But we remove it from the location and we go through. So we bring our own receptacles in, so it's not a cost to the city. And leave it better than when we showed up. So if something like that was instituted within whatever the permit ends up being.
See, now we're working on a permit. That's good. So if we could break into groups now, I just want to make sure that we have time to do that.
I just can't for Mark. I just want to say that I'm really happy to hear Mark and have talked about the permit, and you're offering a citywide solution. You're trying to keep it where it's not just downtown, because it's all citywide. And I think that if we can come up with a permit thing where it's going to be no cost, I think we can should be able to figure out some places to Monday night here, Tuesday night there, Wednesday night there, Thursday night there.
You can't do that.
Huh?
You can't do that. We're all roads. We're all on our own.
Covered areas in seven places.
Yeah, you can't be covered area in seven places. Has to be one
map. All of yours are in the park, city park.
So we actually do it in Marion Park. So not over the bridge, but in the park. We bring our own trash receptacles in. We bring our own stuff in, and we leave the park in better shape than when we showed up. We walk after everything is done and over with. Everything's bagged up, put in the back of the truck. We walk through the park, pick up anything. If it was there when we got there, we pick that up too. And just being proactive, you know, so that when you come up,
they have a tremendous model that works pretty well.
Okay, so here's Jennifer, Becky. If we could, what did you do here, Trevor? If you guys want, some of the city folks can come over to this side if you bring your chair. I want to make Dan and Ken over here. There's also a room in the back that has some chairs for another group. I think we could do this in two groups, if that sounds right, two groups. So,
are we working with this?
And you're working with this?
Right.
this is a framework to consider what parts of the permit you'd have in it. Actually, Becky, do you mind going with that group?
I have something to say.
Do you mind going over there?
Everything is contingent on.
I want to come over here.
Meetings I do, that comes out of my pocket. I say.
I can go wherever, I'll go down there.
We're on record.
I know.
All right, we're gonna get started. Dan? Arjun, okay?
Is there a representative from Rebecca from your group? Rebecca, okay.
Yes.
So, and is there a representative from the other group? Is that you, Dan, or?
The Feeders.
Oh.
Mickey.
Mickey.
That's our group name, the Feeders.
Okay, so what I wanted to do, was there anything, Rebecca? Was there anything your group came up with about location?
Oh, we actually skipped over that.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay.
We saw nothing, why are you concerned?
Oh, we just discussed that what parks and public spaces were and where there were some boundaries in terms of what could be used, what couldn't be used.
Okay.
So.
So what, just quickly, what were they? And then Dan? Did you have?
Well, my recommendation now, knowing that Arches is in side mode, is to pursue that as a potential area for the meals to be brought indoors and or a covering outside that somebody had mentioned earlier too. So my recommendation is that. So
yeah, the permit's covering parks and public places.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that is a good
recommendation.
That is on the permit.
It's a private property, but that's exactly. Me too. So
but yeah. If the city buys it or leases it back to Arches.
Well, I'm not aware of that. Maybe somebody else does, but I'm not aware of that.
Been in the news.
Been on the news.
Okay, so so you had talked about, but it's in your notes, I can get it, you talked about places within Park Y Street.
It's been on Sarah's blog.
Salem Reporter.
We didn't actually talk much about specific okay. locations, other than I brought up the parking garage and we learned why that wasn't going to work.
No.
Why wouldn't it work?
Yeah, I think Sarah brought up a great point on cost.
Yeah.
To actually term that as a fee with kind of like $50 per se. That's actually, it has a slash through it being like, we are waiving this fee. It would have cost this much money. And then almost like, you know, like when you rent at a wedding, you know, facility, if your security deposit, if you aren't adhering to these rules, then you will have to start paying the fee.
Okay.
Because that's just a more of a perception thing, but I thought that was a good point to bring up.
Okay. So the term of the permit, Rebecca, I'll start with you again.
Terms of permit, we were kind of leaning towards what other, I don't know her name, I'm sorry.
Alisa.
What kind of following suit with their organization, they don't do yearly permits, so we were thinking more per event, maybe weekly, monthly, and they would be renewable. The only thing that we crossed off was the yearly.
So it would be all, you would pick all of the?
It could be optional. It was kind of case-by-case basis, yeah.
So daily, weekly, monthly,
or trust.
And then it was renewable as well, was an option.
Okay.
Since it's citywide and at all public spaces, we probably would lean towards not a yearly permit.
Yeah,
it would probably be a shorter term.
Right. Mickey, what was your group?
We actually skipped over that part.
Okay, that's right.
You agree with the other group?
Okay, term permit. Conditions of agreement.
So we decided that posting the rules was really important to make sure that there was, and providing those signs,
But if that was available, you know, the wooden stakes.
Okay.
No smoking, no drugs, no alcohol, even typical ones. Providing hand washing stations, since that was something that was already to have to be required for their food handlers, we didn't feel the need to have to require that, so we crossed that off. Oh, I'm sorry, yes. So no on that. Also, no on portable toilets. We thought that would be cost prohibitive.
Yep.
The pack out of the trash and the pickup of litter was a strong one, yes.
Okay.
For sure on that. We voted to cross off the no camping, only because this isn't be something that we would be having them enforce. They couldn't enforce it.
Okay.
The reporting of violations was good. We thought that would maybe be a sign as well, as something that they would have to acknowledge that they've read on the permit, saying, you know, if you see suspicious behavior, please report it to the non-emergency line or the emergency line. We'll be chatting with you about what that would look like, who to contact.
So 911 or non-emergency?
Yeah, and Sarah brought up a good point that maybe someone will want to call prior to arriving, and they're going to be like, hey, this is a complete trash. We didn't do any of this here, but there already is a camp here. I just want you to know that we didn't do that. So okay. Who do they call? They're not going to call 911.
Right.
Having that information.
So the other,
on the permit.
Just on the permit.
The other option was to utilize dispatch.
Yeah,
actually my suggestion. And then the other option would be if Sergeant Hill had a recommendation of how we should do that or some ideas of how that process.
This particular one?
Yeah.
Take pictures.
Oh, take pictures too.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's
so great. This would be some stuff that would go like on the permit for advice to them.
Yeah.
That's a great.
No, maybe they want to take a photo after they leave to prove that they left it great.
So is that all your?
That was all.
Okay, thank you.
I'm kind of confused about, first of all, posting rules, obviously, we need to have clearly defined expectations of everybody, definitely. That's really key. I mean, whether you post it or everybody has some sort of a handout they get with the permit or something that spells out what those expectations are so they have it with them and they can convey those to the folks they're working with.
Your ability to keep the permit is contingent on whether or not the parameters are met. So your permit can be revoked due to problems.
Are there any other?
Well, I was kind of wondering about the hand washing stations and the portable toilets. We talked about that a little bit with the hand washing stations. If you have hand sanitizer there, well, that, you know, that could suffice. But I think it's taking into account maybe proximity. I mean, if you have a large group or something, how far away are the toilets to whatever facility you have? I mean,
and that's a great point to bring up. I think someone had mentioned that these are typically an hour and a half long. I'm not for sure how long they are, but that there wouldn't be wouldn't be a need typically for that. That was our question.
Okay. Okay. I was just wondering why you said no. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was why.
Okay.
What about how to manage the other permit requirements? So, Rebecca.
Do you have anything on it?
We just wanted to make sure on there it said a reminder of what those permit requirements are so that everyone who's filling out the citywide benevolent feeding permit is aware of what those other requirements are.
Or you could have a checklist.
Yeah, it's nice to have help them out through the process.
Right, but the city's not going to enforce it.
Absolutely not, yeah, right. Exactly.
You could say, in essence, if you don't have these things, a permit will not be issued as well.
Oh, but then you're putting it on the person who's issuing the permit to check and make sure.
But it
is that the city's role.
You know, we discussed, you know, when you go to get your driver's license, you bring in your Social Security card and your birth certificate. So you just bring it in and you put it on the table, and then the person goes.
Are these going to be available online since there are going to be so many of them?
I just think, like what was saying with the permits, that the checkbox is on there, and then it's, you know, then it's out there as far as what they know what the requirements are. If they check the box, if something comes up, somebody shows up to that event, they don't have the requirements, then it would go back to the conditions of the agreement. So you checked this box, you did not have any of those things in place, so your permit is being removed.
Okay, so the applicant checks the box.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
So it's anonymous.
That was similar to our discussion, that the onus is on the permit holder, on whether they get them or not, not on us to ensure that they do. They're made aware that they're needed, but the onus is on them to do it. And if they don't, give us the ramifications from them.
The monthly permit thing is going to be a pain.
Sergeant?
And with that, obviously the onus is on that, the person who's applying for the application to get both. But I think we should be open communication, two-way communication for checks and balances with Marion County. That we provide Marion County with the locations, times, and applications, so they know where to go inspect, because if not, they're not going to know what the feedings are or when they are. And that's up to them if they want to inspect. But there should also be reported back from Marion County if there's any violations, which may go towards revocation or suspension of the permit.
What does everybody think about that?
It's a great idea.
I'm sorry.
Do you provide communication to the county on our other events?
Usually with the other events, they're so large, like the World Meat Festival and Cherry Fest, they already know when they are.
Yeah.
So, they wouldn't know about it.
But no, right. So your question is, no, I don't currently. But in this particular case, our discussion in that room was that we would probably need to communicate the lists and those types of things.
Yeah, and we used to. I don't know. She retired. Carolyn used to be in contact with somebody with the city, and we tracked all of those events, and that's fine. I can give contact for that.
Right.
Just contact me with anything you're doing.
That seems like that would apply broadly, like if a big company was coming in and doing a big food thing. I mean, it seems like it would need to apply to all things that...
Everything with a permit.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to think if it sets a precedent, or I don't know the permitting system well enough, but it seems like we want to be equitable in that.
So one of the other things that was brought up, I think Sarah brought it up, is that just to not lose sight of the fact that we're referring to this as a benevolent feeding permit, but it actually should be a benevolent feeding and sundries permit. So it's not just focused on the feeding, even though that's
it's a topic
of conversation for us.
It's a distribution
tonight.
Permit.
Right. Yeah.
A
benevolent
distribution.
It's just
a
distribution,
right.
And everybody knows what you mean by sundries. It's the handheld supplies.
Yeah. Right.
Clothes.
Hygiene. Because you also need to think about being sued. And the optics are better if you're sued for not allowing a distribution.
What else is missing from this list?
She just mentioned most of the people that are serving have some sort of insurance. Large groups have an insurance policy. That should be
Well, that's interesting. What kind of policy is
Well, liability policy.
The general liability.
Usually the city has to be listed as being additionally insured.
Right.
And most of our event permits require that, right? But
what are we talking for money in regards to these, for this insurance?
Well, I guess the question goes back to you. You as churches or religious organizations, do you have liability policies?
Not a external facility rider. You know, you've got one for the building, but you don't have one. I'm not aware of us having anything for the feeding program in another location.
I mean, typically all you have to do is call your insurance agent and have them get you your insurance is going to cover you wherever you go as an organization. So if you're going to do an event like that away from your church, you just ask them for it.
Okay.
Jennifer,
they don't even usually charge for it.
But the other thing we have to keep in mind is this is a permit for a vast type of usage. So this isn't just for large entities. This permit would not just be for large entities.
It's also for the family or the group who wants to go out and do those, and typically they were not utilized.
So you would.
Talking families here. Families or a Sunday school group, or, you know, something they're not really tied to, a nonprofit.
That should be discretionary with the city, depending on the size.
It's all about exposure, too. But if you, I mean, our advice to you would be, if you are an entity, a nonprofit entity, you should consider having that additionally insured liability insurance. Anytime you rent a space or go off your premises, you should just have it. There usually is a cost for it, but it can be minimal, so.
And on the permit itself, if you have the section where you've got your checkbox and it says, you know, downtown homeless feeding, then answer questions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Anything else that anybody sees on this list that, is this good? It looks like we are somewhat, it looks like we are in agreement. I wouldn't even say somewhat in agreement. Does this look doable for everybody? So that leads us to the fourth meeting, or the need for a fourth meeting. Mark, do you want to, is this enough for the city to put together a draft permit application to bring back to the group?
Well,
Or would you like to, could we vote on this?
Typically a task force is charged with making a set of recommendations back to council. And to do that, usually you take a vote, you know, to make sure it's what you all want, okay? Or at least the majority wants. If there's a large minority, then sometimes they want to have a minority position included with the recommendations. So I guess that's my question to you. I mean, if you feel like your work is done and you want to vote on it and call it good, fine. If you want us to bring it back to you in a more finished form, so you can review it and then vote on it, we can do that too. It's purely up to you.
Sarah, what were you going to say?
Well, I think it's the city staff, as they develop the permit form and have discussions based on their experience and expertise, and certainly going forward, they will need to have the freedom to tweak it. So I feel like we have the broad outlines. I feel like we've done what we can do in the way of advice.
But the only thing that's difficult for me is if you asked me to go to city council and brief the council on what your recommendations are, I really only have some key bullet points on some sticky paper.
I think we have more than that, because I think if you go, I put the screen away so I could, I mean, there's the broader, what we started with, or it's in our packet here, which is the ideas that came from everybody was, you know, the overall strategy is shelters continue to offer meal indoors, and the kitchen facilities are available for groups to use. The city adopts a new code that allows this permit in place. The city designs a new permit, and improvements back to what Dan was saying about Arches. So there are some longer term improvements at Arches. That's, if I was going to tell the city council, I'd say this is what this group came up with.
I just want to make sure that I have enough direction that I can write up recommendations, and you would all agree with them.
The thing that I'm also wondering, if the cities could provide us with locations that you guys would prefer, as opposed to Riverfront Park, because you're not going to want 300 homeless people wandering around at key times when John Q. Public is roaming around. If there are particular parks that you would prefer us feeding in. If you can give us a rough idea as to what we're looking at, what our parameters are, because if the bridge is not an option, like you've pretty much stated, Arches, we have a group of people that won't go inside a building that we're dealing with, so we need another option. So if you can give us a list of parks
or a list of facilities or a list of areas that, that we can go ahead and start planning for. It gives us a better parameter as to what we're going to be dealing with. Because otherwise, we're just looking at this nebulous permit process, and then we have to figure out where it's going to work.
And I can answer your question a little bit here. We typically, we classify our parks, neighborhood parks, community parks, large urban parks, okay? And your neighborhood parks are the small couple acre parks that are usually internal to a neighborhood.
Okay.
Or they don't have parking, usually, they don't have the off-street parking, they're usually just part of your neighborhood. We don't normally reserve those parks for activities. Becky doesn't normally, she's not normally asked, she doesn't normally issue permits for activities in those small little neighborhood parks.
But if someone were to feed there, then now we're going to be in violation of a permit.
Well, no, she wouldn't.
But we wouldn't get one, but if someone came and said, are you meeting all the criteria?
Well, what I am saying is, you're asking what are the preferred parks. Well, they would be the ones that we would issue permits for,
okay,
generally, which are the medium and larger sized parks. So there's a number of them. I mean, there's the big ones, Wallace Marine and Riverfront and Butcher's Patrick Park and Gear Park and Cascades Gateway Park and McKay Park and
River Road Park.
Mitchell Brown has an area that's for reservation.
Okay.
There's some larger parks. Marion Square Park is considered a larger park. You know, so there's some larger parks that we would prefer to issue permits in.
Okay.
Northgate Park is a park that lives in between neighborhood and community. But so there are parks that she would readily issue a permit for. Other little parks, very little parks in the middle of neighborhoods. If you wanted a few 300 homeless people there, that would rile up the neighborhood pretty big.
Absolutely, that's why I'm saying.
She would not issue the permit.
I just want to make sure we have time on the agenda for public comments. And I think most of you are ready to take a vote and make a recommendation on the kind of the overarching page 4 ideas and the details of this permit. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think you guys are ready to take a vote on it. Is there a show of hands that this should be the recommendation moving forward to City Council?
The permit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Which one's the page 4?
Oh, it's...
The one after the red hand?
Yes.
So you have short term, you have mid term, and then you have long term. It's that
city
plus the permit.
I just one real quick question. Are we long-term wise, and this kind of came up from Dan's comments, but are we trying to move feeding indoors or just encourage that eventually?
I think it's the idea from the earlier meeting was to use education and to promote moving indoors, what the people who feed people outdoors said, you'll never get away from, there'll never be a time when there won't be a need for it. I think that's what Dan said.
So you just have a permit process that nobody uses is the goal. Because everybody in the community is confident that people have enough to eat. That's the goal.
That's the goal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are we ready to vote?
Are we voting on adopting this, or are we voting on to see his final draft?
State what they're voting on again.
Yes, so voting on the ideas for me to accept for under the bridge and this framework for the permit. that that would be a recommendation that Mark would take to the city council, and city council would direct him to develop one.
His question is, will we get a chance to see it for the city council?
Yes, and that was Mark, yeah, yes, absolutely.
Well, and I would feel comfortable, if you just vote in favor of where we're headed tonight, I would feel comfortable assembling the recommendations, emailing them to you, taking back any feedback that you would want to give me, and say, no, that's not what we meant, or yes, it is. You know, if I found total disjointness, I'd call a fourth meeting to work it out. But if you trust me to assemble what you've all collected and presented to me into a final set of recommendations that I email out to you, would that work?
Yeah.
When's your intended date to the council? I'd still like to go to the 25th meeting of the council.
Yeah, so if we wait to have a fourth meeting, that just, I mean, we really want to get on top of.
And we could go there and watch you.
Yes.
You're talking about the.
You can testify.
So Mark, you're talking about the 24th of this month?
25th this month.
Or 25th?
Yeah.
We really wanted to move this quickly because the meetings need to keep happening, and we don't want to delay the process, so.
So all in favor?
Almost. I just have one more thing. I don't know if this needs to be a recommendation, but it came up in our group, is to have an orientation or a training. Once all these things are in place, maybe it's an annual thing, whatever, just so folks can come together, okay?
Well, and one thing I'd suggest too is you guys have commented how kind of neat this was, that you're all around the table together for like the first time. And I guess we would just encourage you to stay in contact with each other as food providers. You're all doing fantastic work, and the more you kind of hang together and work together, the, I think, greater the benefit, so.
I see four of us.
Okay, so a show of hands for your facilitator. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is that unanimous?
No, I think four.
Oh, you did, okay, sorry.
Well, just task numbers vote, please.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, it is, and then everybody, all the task numbers, put their hands up.
Kristen, put your hand up.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. And now public comment. I know we're 7 minutes over. It's not very great, but please, I want to make sure there's time for public comment.
Yes.
And then we'll adjourn.
Most of the conversation has to do with the details of the permit, but there'll be other overarching amendments and survey code. And I'm speaking for the Camden Neighborhood Association. And two of our annual goals relate directly to this process. One is to support initiatives offering practical solutions for our neighbors living on the street. That's one. The second one is to assist the city in planning improvements in the area of Square Park. For those reasons, I don't think the amendments would be sufficient unless they include a provision to limit the use of any one park, Marion Square Park, for example, to 3 days per week on 9 consecutive days. That not only discourages the camping that's a problem, but maybe even more importantly, makes reasonable impact on the park. And we know from what's happened since the food distribution was shut down, that park use has increased. And so to accommodate both those goals, to reduce camping and also to make it not be an unreasonable impact on the park, I think that 3 day a week on 9 consecutive days is a reasonable and I think essential part of this code amendment.
All right.
Is anybody paying 3 days a week for not any more than park?
No, no.
So it's not, just to be clear, not for any individual, any.
Understand work.
Yeah.
I would like to address that. We don't have any feeding at Bush Park, and we have got massive along the creek, homeless people living by the creek. They lock up the bathrooms at 8 at night, so they also don't have bathrooms to use. But Bush Park does no feeding. Woodman Sea, all these other parks in South Salem do no feeding, but there's plenty of people living and camping in all the parks in Salem without having any food there,
all right,
other than
now,
home.
I just want to say now I've totally blown all my rules, and we are 10 minutes over, and so I'm going to adjourn the meeting, And Mark is going to take a shot at summarizing this and send this out to people for further comment before it goes to City Council. And Dan?
Can staff think about whether or not that idea makes sense for parks management?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's good parks management to not let any one park be overused for any activity. Even if it was even volleyball, we just wouldn't let them do it every day. So, yeah. When I do send it out to you, because there was some feedback that some people weren't getting my emails, when I send you these recommendations, would you please respond back that you received them so I know that you got them, or I have the proper email?
And don't hit reply all.
I found it.
Don't reply all.
I found it. If this was our last meeting, I would just like to say thanks, Mark. Thanks, City Baltimore.
Thank you very much.
Unless we have to.